Welcome to the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. We want to thank everybody for the overwhelmingly positive response we received this week from our first episode, and I believe we've got a good episode for you guys tonight. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, along with my partners Shane Manila at DFF underscore Shane and Jeremy Broen at DFF underscore Madman. Before we get into the show tonight, though, we thought we would check in with Shane about how everything worked out with the trade that we discussed on the last show.
So, yeah, just real quick, though, Mike, I wanted to piggyback off your point of, you know, the feedback we got from the first episode. And we did get good feedback. Unfortunately, for my taste, not enough people listened. So if you are listening this episode, I think it's incumbent upon you to refer us to a friend. There might be rewards down the road for that. Probably not, but I'd still like that if you could do that for us. So looking at the trade I made, if you listen to last week's episode, you already know. If not, I'm going to go over it again. So last week I traded Dalvin Cook, Juju Smith-Schuster, 2018-104 for Gronk and Devin Funchess. And, you know, this was done in the hopes of securing a semifinal win and hopefully a championship win. So I did win last week, so that's good. Gronk and Funchess gave me a combined 26.7 points compared to the 18.7 points I would have gotten if I stayed with Juju Smith-Schuster and ASJ. In the grand scheme, though, I won the game by 21.2 points. So I guess the trade really didn't matter this week. I would have won anyway, I think. If someone wants to check that math, that's fine. I'm not good at the whole math thing. Going into week 16, I got Gronk going up against Buffalo, which really doesn't matter. As long as Gronk's on the field, Gronk's going to smash. And I got Funchess going up against the Bucks, who are the 32nd ranked pass defense, and they give up the most points to wide receivers in fantasy this year. So hopefully Funchess can bounce back from his 2.4 points he gave me last week.
How many other ones did you end up getting into? How many other finals did you end up, or is that the only one you got going?
No, I have just in Dynasty, I think I have four more finals. Unfortunately, I also had a couple that I lost out on thanks to AB tearing his calf.
Yeah,
that sucked. So I had one league in particular that really hurt. I have AB and Julio Jones and Adam Thielen, but this is the second year in a row that I have yet to win a playoff game with Antonio Brown and Julio Jones as my top two receivers. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I had AB in my main home league and he tore. So I only ended up getting 2 points out of him, but it's funny. The rest of my guys, every single one of them showed up. So I scored like the third highest score ever in my league. So it didn't even hurt me that AB wasn't there. What about you, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, I did fine. I definitely lost my share of games this year. I did not have the best season. I did make it to the Super Bowl in a few leagues. And actually, I don't really do that well in best ball sort of redraft stuff anymore. But I did make it in a dynasty best ball with a young team, too, and only really one quarterback, Matt Stafford. I made it to the I have like the top points by like 19 going into the final week. So I have a pretty good distance between myself and second place. Now he could still pass me up, but that's a charity league. So it's all about bragging rights in that one. I'm going up against some really cool guys and I'm actually surprised I'm at the top. Like I said, that's not my best kind of league.
So you usually lose? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, best ball, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't consider myself very adept at like starting lineups. I make all kinds of mistakes, but I tend to not do very well in redraft leagues anymore. I don't draft as well as I used to. And then best ball, which, you know, that as long as you draft well, you should have a pretty good team. But this year, you know, the Scott Fish Bowl, my team did horrible. I had some injuries too, but it did really bad. I'm in another one of Scott Fish's charity things. I think it's called Koth 2. I did really bad in that. And so this other best ball is the only one where I'm, you know, competitive. I'm not sure why. Yeah.
I didn't do so well in the Scott Fish Bowl either, but I had so many injuries. I had the Dalvin Cook. It looked pretty good the first couple of weeks, and then I lost Cook, and I lost Winston, and I lost, I don't even remember, somebody else, and it just kind of went downhill from there. I ended up in four fantasy bowls this week, or this coming weekend, including my main league, which was one of my most important ones. I know, Jeremy, you and
so
I...
Wait, what? Real quick, guys. So, Jeremy, you call it the Super Bowl, and Mike, you call it the Fantasy Bowl?
Yeah, because isn't that what it is? The Super Bowl is the NFL.
Right. Yeah, I call it the championship because you're not really in any kind of league, really. Like, you're not playing.
Right.
It's
right.
Not like we're going to the game. Like, we're not getting we could get t-shirts made up, but I mean, you know.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. I mean, everybody says it differently, I guess. You know, I never thought about it that. Well, then what do you call the toilet bowl thing? Because I'm in four of those.
The toilet bowl.
Okay, well, I made it to the finals in four toilet
bowls. No one's bragging about that.
Hey,
I am. No one's like, I'm in the toilet bowl.
I am, because in those leagues where I didn't make it into the playoffs, I at least had a good enough team to beat everybody in the toilet bowl.
Yeah, you know you're in leagues with good guys when they compete to win the toilet bowl. You know you're in it with the right guys because they don't care what they're winning. They don't care what they're competing for. They're just beating their friends. You know, they're coming out on top.
Well, yeah. And Jeremy, you and I went against each other to make it to the toilet bowl and Blue Chips, which is our DFF Devi League. And yeah,
thanks for bringing that up.
Well, yeah, but at least it's a good prize too. You get the 1.13, you get a extra first round pick if you win it, you know? So
yeah, good for you. Good for you.
Wait, in a Devi depleted draft.
Well, I know. Listen.
No, that's awesome. Congrats. Yeah. Congrats. That's a big win.
Ever the optimist.
You should make a bracelet up for that.
You know, it's a bracelet. No, I want a belt. You know, in my main league, we've talked about it before. You know, people have trophies. I want a belt. That's what I want. But whatever.
Wear that puppy around on Sundays, huh?
Yeah, carry it over my shoulder. So the other thing that we were going to mention was with the response to our first pod that came out last week, we had a lot of people discuss it on Twitter about how they heard where we discussed about getting rid of trades during the playoffs. And I know, Shane, you spoke to a couple people about it. And then if you look at the branch off of that, a lot of people were discussing it and talking about how their league has been that way, but now they're not going to do it anymore. I know I had one friend that called me saying that he got his whole league to listen to the podcast, and it made them all get together and vote. And they voted this week, and they got rid of the trade deadline. So,
you know what? And that makes it all worth it right there. If I never make money off this fantasy thing, to know that I affected someone's life in a deep and meaningful way, that's all that matters.
You should have been a doctor.
I am a doctor.
You know, I'll tell you something. You're making a joke or you're making light of it, but you do think it's pretty cool, you know, because we talked about it earlier, and it does. It's a cool thing that you could bring up something and it would spark discussion and spark change in other people. And I know it's just fantasy football, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is definitely cool.
No, it is. It is. I cried a little bit when we spoke earlier. I'll admit to it.
Okay, whatever. So the other topic that we wanted to talk about, you know, Shane, you threw it out there today on Twitter. You were asking people, you know, send in some of your trash dynasty trade offers that you got this year. And we got some people that wrote in and gave us some really bad trade offers. So did you want to go over that?
Yes. Yes, I did. That's why I set that up on Twitter earlier. So just so you know, going forward, anytime you want to tag either myself or Michael or Jeremy or the Dynasty Trades HQ Twitter handle account, go ahead and do that with, what was it? Dynasty Trade offers?
No.
I don't even know my own hashtag.
You did. Hashtag trash dynasty trade offers.
Hashtag trash dynasty trade offers. Yeah, exactly that. So throw those at us, because that's always fun to make fun of people that make stupid offers to us. Now, none of these guys gave us the names of the people that offered them the trades. Going forward, though, anyone that's listening to this, if you want to put out people's real names, that's great. I mean, do that. We can make fun of them on Twitter together. If you want to give me their real names, I'll call them at work and make fun of them. Send them emails, call their wives, whatever. So the first one we got is from at Brazil Dynasty FF. Guy offered him Ty Montgomery, 2018 second for Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis. And he did add a comment to it. The gentleman that offered him this trade, he said, "You're loaded at wide receiver, so you need running backs." All right. So what do you guys think? Think that's a fair offer? He did offer him Ty Montgomery and a 2018 second for, let's see, Corey Davis was the consensus 101. 102 at worst, and Juju was probably, depending on when this trade was made, this offer was made, he was, what, the 112 to the 2-2.
It's a brazen offer. I mean, there's not even a first-round pick to be seen in this the offer for these two wide receivers that, you know, one of whom is doing really well this season, and the other one, like you said, was the 1.01, so it's just not even close.
But I like that he did. You know, he noted, like, dude, you already have a lot of wide receivers, so why do you need good ones?
Hey, donate one to me. You have enough.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny to me. That's one of the pet peeves, I guess you could say, about trade offers. When somebody says to me, well, you've got so many of these guys, why don't you trade one of them? Well, I've got so many of those because I wanted them. I need the depth. You never know about injuries. And just because I have them, I'm not going to just give them to you for nothing. And you get that comment every once in a while, at least I have.
It's like a guilt trip, right? They try to guilt you into trading with them. I love it when I see that a team is in my league is loaded at a position that I need, because I'm like, wow, this is like finally, you know, finding gold at the end of the rainbow. This is like finding a $20 bill in an old suit jacket or something. I'm like, wow, I didn't know this existed. A guy's got 10 quarterbacks. You know, you trade for him. I'm going to offer him a decent – I'm gonna make him a decent offer. I don't understand this whole guilt tripping. Like, man, you got a lot of wide receivers. Why don't you throw one my way?
Yeah, you need to throw in an actual decent player. Like for Juju and Corey Davis, you probably at a minimum needed to offer a low running back one, and that's not what Ty Montgomery. I don't think anyone, even at his zenith, anybody expected him to reach those heights.
Right.
But, you know, so, yeah, that trade sucked. That definitely falls under the
trash
dynasty. I'm going to – as soon as I learn this hashtag, it's going to be dangerous. That would fall under the hashtag trash dynasty trade offers. Next one we got was from – and I'll probably pronounce this wrong – the Savoboda underscore CT. You know who you are, though. So someone offered him a late first, Tariq Cohen and Teddy Bridgewater for Antonio Brown. This is a 1QB league, if that it would even matter. 14-team 1QB league. Like that's one of those trades that someone sends to you, and you're like, do you think I'm slow? Like, honestly, like these are the insulting offers you get that you're like, I don't even want to talk to you. Like if this was a family member, I'd disown them. If it was a friend, I'd call them up and probably say, we're not friends anymore.
I wonder if, you know, you just had that today. So they just sent that to you today. I wonder if the person who sent it was just thinking, oh, well, AB got hurt and maybe I can swing in there and grab him. I mean, what would be the rationality in his mind to even make that offer other than that?
Well, people, you know, the rookie pick thing seem to think that any first has a lot of value. When me personally, I think anything after 1-6 is kind of it's a toss up.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. Cohen, maybe if this was after week one, See, you can't even, you know, and I should have asked him about the time frame. But say it was after week one when Cohen went nuts. Well, Teddy Bridgewater, we didn't even know if he was ever going to walk again after week one. So right. that wouldn't make sense.
That's part of the reason I say if it just happened this week, you know, because it doesn't make any sense any other time during the year that that offer would have even been made. Even though this doesn't make sense either.
I got to be honest with you. Even if Antonio Brown would have lost his leg over the weekend, I wouldn't make this trade.
Of course not. I was just saying, what is the rationale to even make that offer?
There is none. This is one of those trades. If someone rejects this and you purposely sent this offer to that person, you immediately email them back and go, oh, no, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong guy. You know, one of those. Like, oh, I didn't mean to hit Teddy Bridgewater. I meant to hit my four first round picks. Yeah. Like, you just make something up.
I was doing it from my phone and my thumb missed.
Exactly. I fat thumbed it and it just happened to pick three of the players that were on my IR. And then lastly, we got one from our buddy, BD Hawks, who is the host of Capology 101.
Yeah.
One of, I believe, 176 DFF related podcasts. Someone offered him Alex Smith for Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
Straight up. I'm thinking in maybe a 2QB league when Alex Smith was tearing it up looking like the MVP after the first five games is when this offer was made. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I still would have picked something up and thrown it at that person. That would have been my response to this trade.
I mean, Smith, you know, he's tied with Tom Brady for points, right? He's up at the top, but I mean, still, like, I don't know how somebody, I mean, he did well this year, but he's an aging quarterback, and you have, like, what might be the 1.01 in startup drafts wide receiver. Like, people think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL in fantasy. What? How does that offer of Alex Smith even come close to the value of OBJ? I don't get it.
No, that's a hashtag trash dynasty trade offer. Is that right? Did
yes.
I get it right this time?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm realizing now is that hashtag is extremely too long.
I was going to mention that to you, that it is kind of long.
I think I'm going to try to, I'm just going to narrow that down to just maybe trash trade offers.
There you go.
Or trash offers. We'll see. You know, stay tuned. Well, I'll let you guys know, actually, when I do it this week, though, so maybe we can get a few more responses. But I do want to thank everybody that did respond to us. And if we didn't get to yours, it's because that trade offer really wasn't that bad. And maybe you don't know what you're doing.
So now, Jeremy, I know you received a trade offer prior to the playoffs that you wanted to discuss.
So every year, it seems like I get these kind of trades. These kinds of trades toward the end of the season where somebody throws a first round pick at me for one of my star players. And in this case, I'm in a 14 team superflex, 1 point per reception league. And another owner offered me a first round pick for Michael Thomas of the Saints. And I declined the offer. At the time, I thought this pick is going to be no better than the fifth pick in the first round, maybe the sixth. So the 1.05 or 1.06. It turns out guy made the playoffs, and I think he lost in the first round. But I'm talking about a team that's going to have, at best, you know, the 1.10 pick for Michael Thomas, which is just too low. But, you know, guys trade players like Michael Thomas away for first-round picks all the time. You've got the guys that just really want draft picks. And why would I take that much risk when I already have a guy who's a basically is fourth, I think, in PPR points at this point in time, maybe 10th in standard scoring, wide receiver one for all intents and purposes. And the only argument against is, well, Drew Brees is going to retire someday. I still think Michael Thomas is going to be that wide receiver one. There's no way in heck I'm going to move him for a first round pick. Maybe a couple, maybe a first and a second, you know, something other than a first. I don't even know if I'd take the 101. I might, but I mean, it's just, you're taking a risk moving a guy like that for a first round pick. I just thought it was interesting because I know not everybody agrees with that. There are plenty of people that would move him, don't like him, and take that first round pick.
And this is in a one quarterback league or a super flex?
super flex, and it's point per reception too.
So we're in the middle of doing a super flex rookie draft right now. The 110 was Ronald Jones, 109 Calvin Ridley, 111 Bryce Love. So when you look at it those terms, any of those guys pique your interest for Michael Thomas?
No, I mean, they may turn out to be great players in their own right. My point is that I'm not going to go backwards for something that's not guaranteed at this point. I have the guarantee right now. I've got a wide receiver one. I need a little something more than a fleeting glimpse of a superstar running back thrown at me and a 110. I need more than that first round pick to move him.
Yeah, as much as I want to disagree with you, a 110, I can't do that in a super flex. Now, if they were talking maybe 1-4, 1-5, where I could get Lamar Jackson, Nick Chubb, maybe Cortland Sutton, if, you know, things break right, I could see doing that. But yeah, for 110, that's not even, I wouldn't even do that in a, yeah, no, I can't see doing that under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Well, what did you say right now that Michael Thomas is?
I don't know exactly where he's at right now. I know the last time I looked, and I'm sure that's after last week's games, he was around fourth overall wide receiver in PPR, point per reception, and around 10th in standard scoring. So he's a wide receiver
standard?
One regardless. Go ahead.
Who do you play standard with?
I don't. I just, you know, I always look at that, compare that. I think I might still be in a couple of standard leagues, but, you know, obviously mostly interested in the PPR points.
No, Jeremy, that's a dig at me with my home league. We still have it as a standard league because the guys,
oh, he's picking on your
yeah,
home league.
The guys don't want PPR. You. Every week he's going to get a little dig in there somewhere about my.
Standard is stupid. And
hey, tell us how you feel, man.
I got to be honest with you. I think standard is for people that aren't very good at math.
Nice. Why?
Because that whole point per reception thing, they're like, wait, he had three receptions. How many points is that? I carry the one.
No.
I guess. I don't know.
No, I actually want to do standard again, Sipes, Mike. I really do. I'm in so many PPR leagues with so many confusing, but, you know, point enhancing things like PPR and running back carries and all these sorts of things that you have to like have a math degree to just figure out, that even with what Shane's saying, and I agree with him, people don't understand it. I kind of like the simplicity of a standard league. I mean, not a 10 team, you know, 12, 14, 16, you know, make it interesting, like still competitive, but standard scoring. I like it. I
think it's so fun. You're saying that only simple people play standard league.
No,
I'm saying that it's simplified, which makes it likable.
Part of the reason that we've kept it that way is because some of the guys don't want to change. But another thing too is when PPR was started, it was started because you had all these running backs that were scoring all these points because you had these main backs. Like a team only had one running back. Over the years, teams got 2, 3, 4 running backs. The running back position is not scoring as much points as it used to. So you don't need to have that enhancement for wide receivers getting an extra point. So
bingo.
Well, yeah, you know what though? It's bouncing back the other way. So that makes me wonder if we're going to start pulling back on all these points per carry leagues too.
I hope
the great running backs that are in the league now and all the ones that are coming in.
Well, it's possible, but it hasn't been that way for the last couple of years, and that's part of the reason why we have it that way. And there's some people that are just adamant about not having it. The other thing, too, is we have scores that aren't like some of these other leagues where you got 600 points in a game, you know? So the reason, Jeremy, I asked you about what Michael Thomas is ranked is because a lot of people talk about, I'll give you a first-round pick for this player or that player, because they think that, oh, it's a first-round pick. Yeah. My friend calls it eye candy. You know, hey, I'll throw you a first-round pick. And they try to take something from you without even realizing that that person's already producing for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Michael Thomas is not, you know, just a nobody. I mean, he's doing great. I think Drew Brees said, I think Drew Brees has thrown to him more than any other receiver as far as percentage. ever in an offense because he never had somebody that he could just loft the ball to like 50-50. You know, he's known as an accurate quarterback, dinking and dunking and making those great throws. And, you know, he's not afraid to throw it up 50-50 to Michael Thomas because he's pretty sure even up against two guys, he's bound to come down with it. And that's a good attribute. But, I mean, we were talking about what picks you'd take for Michael Thomas to move him. And I don't think I'd take anything short of the 101, and I might not do that. But it would take that much. I heard at 1.03 in our last rookie draft, I think it was, Courtland Sutton was drafted, which is probably going to be a great player. But for those people who think that Michael Thomas came in the league raw, Courtland Sutton's coming in probably even more so. And I don't know if he'll ever be better than Michael Thomas. I mean, his ceiling may be higher, but I'm not going to take a chance like that when I already have that guy right now.
And the thing about Michael Thomas is you were talking about where he ranks at wide receiver right now. Yeah, he's the wide receiver 4. He's averaging 16.6 points a game right now. And he's consistent. I mean, I think every game this year he's seen at least, I'm going to bring up his game logs as much as how, you know, that's a lot of fun for everyone to listen to. But his game logs, he's had at least 5 receptions in every game except one this year. He's had at least 8 targets in every game but one this year. So, yeah, he's wildly consistent.
Yeah, that sounds right. And I was on that Open Bar podcast this past Tuesday, and I was trying to talk up Michael Thomas. I don't think most of the other guys on the call really cared to hear it too much. But the thing is, he can do a lot of route running, and he keeps getting better. Came into the league raw, keeps improving, and he's got that consistency like you just pointed out. So it's not somebody that you're just going to move for a first-round pick.
Well, and also, I just looked it up with 2 of the ADP mocks that happened this week. He went at 110 in both of them. So you're talking about in a startup draft, it's the 10th overall pick.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, now I might trade him for, say, the 101.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but Shane, with that goes into the trade that you offered me. Now, we're sitting here talking about if you've already got a player that is producing and performing, to get an offer for him is not something that at least I would want to do. And I know that I was out of it in our league and you were going for a playoff run, but you had sent me the 1.01 for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, and you foolishly rejected it repeatedly. Todd Gurley is a beast this year, no doubt. I believe he's the RB1 on the year, and correct. If he's not, yeah. So, and that's without even looking up the stats, but, you know, and he just won semifinals for pretty much probably any team he was on last week. Saquon Barkley's going to be better. I don't think that's in doubt with anyone,
well,
except for you.
It's not so much that it's in doubt where I think that he's not going to be better, but when we're sitting here playing fantasy football and dynasty football, a lot of times people take these rookies and everybody assumes they're going to be like Ezekiel Elliott in his first year and he's going to win me a championship in the first year. And it's just not so. I mean, that one's it's an outlier. It doesn't usually happen. So somebody like Todd Gurley, who his first year he had flashes, then the second year he had some down games and it didn't work so well. And then this year he's really picked it up and he's really become the number one running back.
And yeah, nobody has patience. It took a little while, but, you know, he came off of that injury. He didn't have, you know, the greatest start, but I mean, he's becoming what people thought he would.
And that was my point. I mean, you have to sometimes have patience with this. Now, that's not to say that Barkley's not going to be this awesome running back and this great player, and maybe he is. But Gurley is that right now. And it's not like Gurley's been in the league for 10 years and he's going to have a drop-off next year. He's only been in here, what, 3 years? So to me, even though I was out of it, I don't want to give that player up when... See, one of the other things that I think that some teams do, I get the whole contender, non-contender thing. So if you're not going for the ship this year, you trade away things and you try to get picks. But the other side of it is you're supposed to build a team. So if you're building a team and you have a really great piece, you build around that piece. You don't trade that piece away to get other pieces, you know, at least
yeah,
in
just
my mind.
You like them. Yeah. You don't trade your own wife away for a different wife. Well, I mean, some people do.
But what does she look like? What does your second wife look like? Is she younger? Is she a better cook?
The other thing for me, you know, I end up, I like to build my teams with a lot of the same players. And somebody like Gurley was somebody I really liked coming into the league, so I got him everywhere. This year, it was Dalvin Cook. I really liked him, and I got him everywhere. So for me, when they finally produce and become the player that I wanted them to be, it's just an extra incentive for me to not even consider doing the trade. And I know that you say that it's a mistake on my part, because you believe that you would have won and you would have gone on if we did.
Well, there's that. Yes.
Well, there's that.
Yes, there is that. Because I would have won my opening playoff game because I lost by 3 points. And then I didn't even look at the scores, but, you know, and then I traded everything away. But I would have had Hunt and Gurley this week, so I would have won. And I'd be in the championship. So because of you, I'm not in the championship, and I don't like you.
Nice work, Snipes. You're doing it right.
And you threw me under the bus out on Twitter world, telling everybody that I wouldn't do the trade with you. But see, that's also the point. In a lot of the leagues that I have Gurley, I also have Melvin Gordon, and I also have Dalvin Cook, who's on my IR in all those leagues. But next year, I'll be rolling with all three of those guys in almost every one of my leagues. So it just didn't seem like something I wanted to do. But it is the opposite when you go to the other trade that we were talking about. So I had a trade in this other league that I'm in where the guy wanted from me Davante Adams and Jack Doyle, and he offered me Chris Godwin, Tywan Taylor, and George Kittle. And in that league, I'm out of it. And he was going for a championship. And so he offered me that. And that team is a real big rebuilding team. And I remember when I brought this up to you guys actually had opposing points of view on this.
Yep.
Oh, that's a terrible offer. That's garbage.
I think there's a lot to work with that offer and those three young piece, you know, key pieces for your team. So I don't think it's terrible. I mean, always ask for more, but I've never really been a Davante Adams believer.
You literally just said that you didn't want to trade Michael Thomas for even Courtland Sutton.
Yeah.
Which Courtland Sutton is more of a sure thing than Tywan Taylor. And what were the other trash pieces? Okay, George Kittle.
Trash. George Kittle is not trash.
Who else was it?
It was Chris Godwin, Tywan Taylor, and George Kittle for Davante Adams and Jack Doyle.
Oh, Jesus, no. Davante Adams, and look, I did an article on what wide receivers I didn't think were going to repeat as top 24 scorers, and I put Adams in there, and I was hella wrong because he's done it again this year. Even after Aaron Rodgers went down, he still was able to perform with Brett.
Maybe even Brett more Hundley. So. I don't know for sure. You might even be doing better with Hundley because I'm sure they practice quite a bit together.
Well, no, Davante Adams is a one. Davante Adams is pretty much going to force Jordy Nelson to retire.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, they needed somebody to replace Jordy. But when Mike brought this trade to my attention, I liked the three pieces he was getting for different reasons. And then we talked about how, yeah, ask for more. See what else you can get on top of that. But I thought it was a great start already. Davante Adams, I mean, yeah, he's okay. He's an okay receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
Tell me what you think of Jack Doyle. What's Jack Doyle to you? What is
Jack Doyle this year? He's a
Jack Doyle
tight end one.
Sum it up. What is Jack
Doyle? Last year, he was a tight end one.
Okay. Why?
And that's what you because that's what his numbers are.
Yeah. Jack Doyle is probably what more Cameron Brait, you know, less Jason Witten. I don't know. I mean, I don't see him as a long-term asset regardless. Yeah, he's great. I'd like to have him on my team. I have him on quite a few teams. I enjoy his production on those teams. But as far as a long-term asset, kind of disposable, honestly. I mean,
really? Because yeah,
I don't see him as a top, you know, six tight end every year. Maybe he does it. I mean, I hope he does. I just don't see him as that.
And then, so your upside for Tywan Taylor and Chris Godwin and George Kittle is what? Wide receiver fours and tight end three?
I actually think George Kittle is probably better than Jack Doyle as far as an athlete in a good system to become. I mean, it's a risk. You're taking a risk with those three guys. I happen to like, when Mike brought this trade to my attention, I just happened to like the three players he was getting a lot. I just like all three of those pieces better than the other two. I'm not a big fan of Adams, and I think Jack Doyle is good for now. I don't see him as a long-term asset.
How many leagues are we in together? I got to start sending you some offers.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we're in that. I think we're in two leagues together, maybe, Shane, something like that. I'm in more leagues with Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're in.
So you guys are against me.
No, actually, I'm in more leagues with Shane than I am with Jeremy. But Jeremy and I actually even co-commission a league too. So what I did was I went back and forth with him, and then we settled on a compromise. He added Austin Hooper and a second, and then I added a third and a fourth. So ultimately, the deal ended up being Devontae Adams, Jack Doyle, a 3 and a 4, for Chris Godwin, Tywan Taylor, Austin Hooper, George Kittle, and a second.
Yeah, no, that's still a terrible trade. I don't care how. You need to put that to a Twitter poll because we know Twitter's always right.
Wrong. You're basically stuck on Devontae Adams and what he got in return because I can't buy into the fact that Jack Doyle is preventing you from making that.
No, Jack Doyle is not making or breaking that trade for me.
Right.
Well,
clearly it's Devontae Adams that he gave up at worst a wide receiver two for what Mike could be if you squint your eyes sideways wide receiver fours someday. I mean, I like Chris Godwin, I do, but from what we've seen out of Jameis this year, he hasn't. You know, he's taken a large step back, and obviously it's only his third year, so we expect him to improve at some point. But, I mean, that's Mike Evans' team, and we've seen O.J. Howard start to emerge, you know, towards the end of the season. I think those two are going to monopolize targets. I like Chris Godwin. I just don't see that he'll ever be able to get more than maybe 60 receptions a year.
Well, and then ultimately for me, it's cashing in on Devontae Adams to get a whole bunch of pieces that may or may not do something. So that was the reason. So I know we had one other one that Jeremy wanted to talk about with Gronk and Mark Ingram for Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah. I made a trade that, much like Shane's opinion of the one that you just made for trading away Devontae Adams, I moved some players that I really like. Who are all on my IR, much like Shane's dilemma before his Super Bowl run. So here's what it was. Let me frame it up first. I was in the playoffs. I don't know how I made the playoffs with so many injuries. My team was just in bad shape, but I made the playoffs. I actually traded a second-round pick for Mike Davis just to have a second starting running back. Half the start, two. I only had one. I had Lamar Miller and literally nobody else that I could start at running back. So I traded, got Mike Davis, won my playoff game, made it to the Super Bowl. So I'm in the Super Bowl and I'm looking at the other guy who's got like this tremendous roster that he's put together. It's one of those guys that claims to build through youth, but then at the end of the year, every year, he loads up on existing players, vets to boost his roster. And do really well. And in fact, he won last year. I won the year before that. He won last year. I didn't want to see this guy repeat or have an easy time in the Super Bowl. I really wanted to win it. So I moved a bunch of players, including Dalvin Cook, who I love, Dante Foreman, both on IR, Tyler Eifert, tight end on IR, Tywan Taylor, who I also like a lot, Mike, 2018 first, which will end up being the 111 or 112, depending on how I do in the Super Bowl. And a 2019 first, which I didn't want to do, but I went ahead and pulled the trigger for Rob Gronkowski and Mark Ingram. So I have a starting running back and then a tight end because I have nobody, trust me. I have really nobody to roll out at tight end, especially with Eifert on IR every year all the time. So I got rid of Eifert, who was just an eyesore. I saw him on my roster on IR every year. I just needed to get rid of him. You know, a couple rookie picks that might pan out. I'm not a big Dante Foreman fan. I am a Tywan Taylor and Dalvin Cook fan, however. But you know, I moved a low first, a 2019 first, which was hard to do for Gronk and Ingram. And now I have a shot at covering what I thought was going to be like a 20-point loss, at least for me, in the Super Bowl or the championship game or the fantasy bowl, whatever you want to call it.
No, I want to first congratulate you for making it to the Super Bowl. it is the dream of many athletes. And, you know, we have Skyped a few times, and you are an athlete top peak physical condition, just like me. But no, that's a good trade because, one, yeah, you traded a bunch of guys that are injured. It sounds like you just looked at, like, your whole IR, and he was like, I'll take that one. Take that one. I mean, I love Dalvin Cook, and, you know, I traded him away under the same circumstances. Dante Foreman, I mean, whatever. Yeah, he had one nice, really nice game when he blew out his ACL. I believe it was his ACL, right?
I think, was it his ACL?
Or was it his Achilles?
Achilles, yeah.
Actually, yeah, it was his Achilles. Yeah, which is actually worse for a running back.
Yes, sir.
So who knows when he's going to be back and if he's going to have any explosion when he comes back. Tyler Eifert, that son of a bitch, who I bought him. I bought in everywhere this year, and I was like, this is the year he stays healthy, and son of a bitch, did not. Tywan Taylor again, whatever, fine. 2018 firsts, 111, yeah. 112. I mean, yeah, no, that's fine. You won big. I mean, Gronk's still only 28. We went through this last week talking about my Gronk trade. Gronk is – when he plays, he's such an advantage over every other tight end. You're basically getting wide receiver one scoring out of him.
And then also with Mark Ingram, even with Kamara there, both of those guys are in the top 10 every week scoring wise. So you've got two players that you could go into the fantasy bowl with. So you're ultimately just giving away Dalvin Cook and two first round picks, which,
yeah, that's how I looked at it. And like I said, the 2019, I didn't want to move, but he insisted on that. He was not going to make this deal unless I threw that 2019 first out there. And the 2018, I don't know if he realized it might be the one. Well, it's probably, it could be the 111. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but seriously, it could be 112. I mean, that's, are you kidding me?
Well,
that's...
also there's one thing about a 2019 first. And to me, I always think about it this way. When people are asking for the 2019s and even the 2020s, you know, that really is something that gives you a long time to get it back. So yep. You could throw that in to get a deal done. And then over the next year and a half, try to get it back, not necessarily from him, but from somebody else. A 2 year down the road rookie pick should not hold you back from making a trade. Especially one like that that's going to help you win.
Yeah, I thought it was an okay deal. I was not going to compete in the championship game without those guys. And I just seriously, while we were having this conversation, the guy that I'm playing, who's also the commissioner of this league, just traded Trey Burton and a 2018 first, I think that's all it was, for Drew Brees. So apparently what I thought was going to make me competitive may have just ended.
Oh, so he did a trade to try to combat yours.
Actually, I think it was a 2018 second in Trey Burton for Drew Brees, which is, that sounds horrible. Why would you do that?
Who's his quarterback?
I'm looking.
This is happening live? Is this breaking news?
I literally just saw this.
Do we have a breaking news drop? I need a Hello, San Diego.
Yeah, he had Jameis Winston and AJ McCarron, so he added Drew Brees. So there you go.
I don't think Drew Brees or from Jameis Winston is that much of an upgrade, to be quite honest with you, this week.
I was just gonna say, I wouldn't be too worried either, Jeremy.
That's one of those, like, when I make a trade and I'm giving up a lot, or, you know, I think I'm giving up a lot. In that circumstance, like, I want to be moving up from, you know, like I did last week, basically moving up from Tyler Croft to Rob Gronkowski. Like, I want to know that I'm making a slam dunk trade. But
yeah,
you know.
If he gave up, I wouldn't have parted with Drew Brees for that little bit, for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. But like Shane says, it's not as big of a jump like Tyler Croft and Rob Gronkowski. So maybe you're not going to be that hurt by it. So I guess that was the last trade that we were going to talk about tonight. And before we get to the plugs, I know, Shane, you wanted to talk about the new shirts that we got.
Yes, we have shirts. I ordered shirts. So, yeah, we got these sexy as sexy AF shirts. Try to keep the show PG. That will be coming any day now. And in order to bribe folks to listen to our show, we will give some away. We're going to think of some contests, stuff like that, rate and reviews, maybe refer a friend and you could get a t-shirt. Whoever can refer the most friends to download our show can get a t-shirt. Cause it's really important that people listen to our show, or at least download it. I think downloads is what matters. But yeah, I mean, you should listen too, cause I'm extremely smart and funny. And, Michael and Jeremy are also here. So, you know, we want to give these t-shirts away, as we brainstorm, the best way to bribe you, the best way to get new listeners. We'll come up with some ideas. I think I tweeted the shirts out, what they look like, out on our account earlier today, but if I didn't, I will. So just stay tuned, make sure you keep checking in and checking the handle and sending us your trades, and then we can get you some free swag. You know, that's what we're going to do. We are a podcast for the people. That's, you know, we will do whatever it takes to make you like us.
And if you want to send us those messages to try to get those shirts, you can find us on Twitter at Dynasty Trades HQ. And you can DM us about your trades, your polls. We'll answer them. We'll get them on the show. Also, you can find our podcast now. We have now been approved on iTunes. We are on Google Play. We are on Stitcher. We are on Podbean. And I believe, Shane, even on your Twitter handle, you said you'll even go to people's houses and reenact episodes.
I will go to people's houses and reenact episodes. If you don't listen to our show, I will go to your house as well, under different circumstances. We're also available on Pod Addict for anyone that, you know, that's your thing. And please write and review us on the iTunes, for several reasons. One, it makes us easier to find. Two, please make sure that you rate us highly, because I am very sensitive and I don't want to cry anymore, but that's very important. And even on the Podbean, you could heart us, you can share us with your friends and family, enemies, anyone really.
And you can find us on the Dynasty Football Network, where you can find all of our other specialty shows from Dynasty Football Factory, like the Dynasty Warzone podcast, the FF Fellas, the IDP Edge Crushers, the Super Flexible podcast, Capology 101, and the Devi Watch podcast, and all the other great content that we have on the site. You know, we always sit here and talk about these podcasts, but they're all part of the DynastyFootballFactory.com website, which we just had a major overhaul to the site this past month, and it's awesome. It looks great.
It does. I want to marry it.
Well, thanks for listening.
Peace.